Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you as we are taking you up until 6 o'clock today. You know what? We are going to talk a little bit of Royals baseball today. Not now. There's no random lineup coming. We have retired that for 2025, but I do have a Royals thought that I want to share with you guys. Before the show is up, there is a story out of college basketball that I also want to touch on today. We are in that midweek, so we're far away from week three, not yet there for week four. So we're going to do some different things today to get you ready for the game coming up on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens. We're also going to have the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, is going to be on the show. I got a chance to talk to him earlier today. I'll play that conversation for you coming up at 3:15. Jeff Schwartz, former right tackle in the National Football League, is also going to join us on the show today as well. We'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs offense and what they could do to run the football more effectively. We got a lot planned in today's show. Before we do any of that, I need to remind you guys of a couple of things. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, it'd be great if you could tell two people, but if you could just tell one person to check out the show, you know what? I would appreciate it. And number three, and this is the most important, I need you to remember that the open of the show was brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place with great food specials, great drink specials. If you're looking for a place to watch some big-time college football this weekend, Kansas City is also at home. If you're looking for a place to watch that 3:25 game on Sunday with some amazing specials, look no further than our friends over at The Other Place. They got five locations around town, so you are not too far from the best sports bar in the city. So I want to go back in our time machine for just a little bit. Now, you heard us play this yesterday, but we have an important update. This was Matt Nagy. This was the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs on September 11th. He was asked about Juwan Taylor and the penalties. Here's what he said.
Speaking to the obvious, the penalties, that can't happen. And so that's where we're at. We've made it loud and clear. Juwan knows that. He understands it. It's something that, especially in a moment like that in that game, when things are a little bit off kilter now with the personnel, and you start to move the ball, you have a couple positive plays, and then boom, a penalty or a second. You know, so three penalties and a hold, not good enough. He knows that. When there's no one hiding from it, he's not hiding from it. He understands what's expected, and I think he's ready for that challenge here as we go.
So this is what we all wanted to hear. These penalties are not going to be accepted. He knows he has to get better. There's no answer for it. There's no excuse for it. Well, since then, he has committed three penalties. He committed a penalty that wiped out a Chiefs first down, and the drive stalled largely because of another Juwan Taylor penalty. Well, now Andy Reid meets with the media on Wednesdays for his first time getting ready for the new week, and one of the early questions in the press conference is, hey, what about your right tackle? You guys said a couple of weeks ago that these penalties were not going to be accepted. You guys said a couple of weeks ago that Juwan Taylor needed to be better. He has committed a penalty in every game that you have had so far this season. He, again, is the most penalized player so far in the National Football League. Here's what Andy Reid said earlier today about Juwan Taylor.
You know, when he doesn't have the penalties, his percentage has been good. So, you could argue one of the better tackles in his pass protection game. You know, so I'm conscious of that, and then I'll take care of it from there.
Okay. Maybe you guys hear those comments a little differently than I hear them. I hear another week of these are something that we can live with. Okay. I mean, I don't know what to do anymore when it comes to Juwan Taylor. I can give you all the stats until I'm blue in the face. We can talk about the one game 3 years ago in which Chris Collinsworth called it out. We can ask the coaching staff why, even though we feel like there is an emphasis on this player, even though we know that there is more of a watchful eye on this player, how this problem has not been corrected. Juwan Taylor has now played 44 games, if you include the postseason, with the Kansas City Chiefs, and we are still talking about something that happened in his first game with the Chiefs that we don't feel has been improved in game 44, heading into game 45. I don't know what else you guys want me to do when it comes to Juwan Taylor. I think they gave us our answer. They gave us our answer. When he doesn't commit the penalties, we feel like he grades out as a positive. Now, this is with everybody, anything. You have to live with the positives and you have to live with the negatives. I think Andy Reid is telling you in that clip, we feel like we can live with the negatives because the positives outweigh it, and we feel like we have everything else under control. I mean, I disagree with them. I don't think it's under control. For him to have committed seven penalties so far through the first 3 weeks of the season, and three of those penalties have been on third down, I think it is a problem. I think it is part of the problem with the offense. And I think it comes off a little differently this year is you have an exit plan. You have an exit strategy. If you look at the contract and the financials, I don't believe that Juwan Taylor is going to be starting at right tackle for them. I don't think that he is going to be on the team next year. So the same way that we see teams make changes at quarterback or change at a running back, why are the Chiefs so hesitant to make that change at right tackle right now when what their offense really needs is to eliminate mistakes and you have an alternative to a player that commits more mistakes than anybody else on your offense? So I tell you guys all the time, sometimes I can give you my opinion on things. Sometimes I just give you my interpretation of things. Sometimes it's my job to tell you how it is. And maybe I need to receive that message for myself because all the complaining that I've done about Juwan Taylor, all the complaining that you potentially have done about Juwan Taylor, the Chiefs have given you the answer. He's our right tackle. They are not starting Jalen Moore. Now, could something change? Absolutely. But I think Andy going up there and phrasing it in the way that he phrased it answered the question heading into week four against the Baltimore Ravens. They're obviously aware of the penalty problem with Juwan Taylor, and they think the positive grade that he gives them in pass protection, they think that outweighs the one or two potential penalties that you get a game from Juwan Taylor. I think that was their official stance today, Rob.
I think I agree with you. I believe that's their official stance. I will say this, because I haven't looked at the text line, but I assume the text line has the same thought you did and the same thought I did. How can you continue to stick it out? How can you preach accountability but keep riding it out with Juwan Taylor? How can Andy Reid, who has forgotten more about football than I will ever know, go up there and say, well, yeah, outside the penalties, you look at the numbers, he's really good. But the penalties exist, coach. They are part of the story. Yeah, if that didn't happen, the outcome would be different. But they do exist. That's reality. So it's possible the reason they're sticking with him isn't because they love him or anything, they can coach the penalties away or any of those things. It's possible that Jalen Moore is just not good. It's possible that Andy Reid can't walk to the podium and goes, guys, listen, I see practice. I'm willing to deal with the penalties because Jalen Moore's no good. It's possible that's the truth, but he's never going to say that at a press conference, because saying that we're going to clean up the penalties and obviously knows the penalty problem and, you know, outside of the penalties, really good. Yeah, the penalties are a major part of the story here, and to act like they aren't and then say we're going to stick it out is just crazy to me. So I'm open to the idea that maybe it's Jalen Moore is bad and they have to stick it out because there is no other logical reason why you wouldn't at least entertain a change.
I think that's the part of this. And the Jalen Moore, I think they're two separate things and we can address both of them here. The first thing is the logic behind that is so flawed to me, because if you change the outcome of anything, then obviously we have a different feeling. Like, it is impossible to say, well, if you take away all the negative plays and everything's all good, well, then yeah. That's the argument we have. Well, you know, if the Chiefs had done this, or if the, well, that's why they lost. Like, you can't change the circumstances of why someone lost and then make them to win when that's the reason why they lost. I feel like that's what we do. Well, if you eliminate the plays that we complain about when Juwan Taylor, then we wouldn't complain anymore. But he keeps committing those penalties. Those plays continue to happen. They are a negative for your team. I don't know if I'm ready to say that when it comes to Jalen Moore. I definitely get how someone could come to that conclusion with Jalen Moore. I don't think that's it. I really think the Chiefs are sitting there looking at it, and regardless of how I feel, regardless of how you feel, they have told you just about it every single turn. We believe in Juwan Taylor. You look at his contract. You look at the way that they have restructured it that made it essentially impossible for them to cut him this year. It's kind of one of those things where, you know, with Justin Watson, fans felt some way, the team felt another way. With Daniel Sorensen, team felt one way, fans felt another way. I mean, this just feels like the exact same argument in a different packaging. The way that I feel about Juwan Taylor and the way that they feel about Juwan Taylor are just not aligned with each other. Everything that they have done for the last 3 years shows you how much they believe in him and how much they believe this comment from Andy Reid. Yes, we know the penalties are a problem, but we think the totality of who he is as a player and the good that he gives you outweighs those negative one or two plays. Now, I would just say, then what are we talking about with accountability? Because it just doesn't sound like the penalty issue has been resolved, and it sounds like something that they can just live with. What frustrates me, especially when we are talking about a game of razor-thin margins, and the Chiefs used to have the talent, ability, quick-strike offense to be able to overcome those things, these are the things that get you beat right now while you're not operating at full capacity. It's a missed extra point. It's a holding call on the third down. It's an illegal procedure penalty that turns a third and four into a third and nine and changes the course of the game. Those one or two plays are the reason why you can potentially lose on Sunday to the Ravens. And the Chiefs have just quite simply come out with the statement basically of, we understand that, but we think that he is part of the solution of helping turn this thing around. How do you guys perceive what Andy Reid had to say? We'll continue to talk about it on the other side. And we'll continue to also touch on the top story in the National Football League. The Giants have made a change at quarterback. Keep it right here, Sadrive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
I want to read a couple of these texts really quickly. We were talking about this in the open. Matt Nagy a couple of weeks ago said that the penalties from Jawan Taylor are unacceptable and he has to clean them up. He has committed a penalty in the two games since then. He committed a penalty in Sunday's game. It was a 3rd and 12. Patrick Mahomes ran for 17 yards. There was a penalty on Jawan Taylor that erased the first down. The Chiefs ended up not getting points on the drive. Andy Reid was asked about it today. Here's what he said regarding Jawan Taylor.
You know, when he doesn't have the penalties, his percentage has been good. So, you could argue one of the better tackles in his pass protection game. You know, so I'm conscious of that, and then I'll take care of it from there.
If it wasn't for the penalties, the pass protection has been very good. He is the most penalized player in the NFL since joining the Kansas City Chiefs by a fairly wide margin. He has been penalized, I believe, 46 times so far since joining the Kansas City Chiefs in the 2+ years since he's been here. No other player in the National Football League has been penalized at least 30 times. So we are talking about number one with a wide margin right now for the Chiefs right tackle. I want to read a couple of these texts and we'll move on. Text line 913-586-7965. Andy Reid is saying, if the tree wasn't in my way, I have a clear shot to the green. Well, the tree is there. You can't move it. Someone else on the text line says, CDOT, a phrase that you use, the grass isn't always greener. Andy has earned my trust. If he believes replacing Taylor would hurt the line more than it would help, then I'm going to continue to ride with him. That is a logic that I would agree with for the most part. If I didn't feel like they had their 2026 right tackle currently on the roster, if you want to project this thing out just a little bit, I am guessing that you probably have the Chiefs with the exact same offensive line they have now for next year, and you subtract Jawan Taylor and you would insert Jalen Moore. If the Chiefs didn't have a different option, I'd have a different opinion. If we were talking about Wanye Morris being their right tackle that would step in, I don't know if I would feel so strongly about this. If we were talking about moving Kingsley over to right tackle, then I would have a different opinion. But we're talking about their big swing in free agency. The Chiefs did not spend a lot of their resources on free agents this year. The three agents that they brought in Jalen Moore, who hasn't played yet so far this season. They brought in Elijah Mitchell, who has been inactive so far, and Christian Fulton. That was kind of it for this team. So if you were telling me that despite the 7 penalties that he has created in the first 3 games of this season, if you were telling me that you're not 100% sure that Jalen Moore is a better right tackle than them, then you got problems in 2025 and 2026 for what we're talking about at right tackle. So that's where, if your stance is going to be, man, the grass isn't always greener, at some point they're just going to move on from Jawan Taylor. Are we expecting to see a dip at right tackle then? Because that's what it sounds like to me then, if they're afraid to go do it. At this point, we have to go with the sunken cost fallacy. They're going to spend money on one of those two players to not play. So it's either going to be Juwan Taylor because they're not doing anything with Joshua Simmons on that left side, or they're doing it with Jalen Moore. So right now it's a very simple, who do you think is the best option? If they think that Juwan Taylor is the best option for them at right tackle, then maybe we need to talk about them restructuring his deal at the end of the season and then going on to play next season. So I just think that's something to keep in mind, and that is something to note with this team. Let me play for you guys what Phil Simms had to say. He was on Shine on Sports talking about, I still think, the top story right now in the National Football League. Russell Wilson has been sat down after three games as the quarterback for the New York Giants, and they are going to Jackson Dart to be their starting quarterback. Here's Phil Simms on Shine on Sports.
I'm sitting at home watching the Kansas City game. I see all the empty seats. Okay, the crowd is—they're ready to boo. I think they came there to cheer, but they kind of saw "here we go again" game. That's what it reminded me of. Here we go again, and then Russell Wilson, you know, just some bad decisions, a lot of bad throws. It was time to do it. Now I always say this too, Adam. Not to talk too long here. I'm sorry, but owners can do a couple things. They can count to 11. I learned this from Bill Parcells. They can count to 11. In other words, you better have 11 people on the field at all time and don't have 9 or 10 have to call a timeout because of that. But they know empty seats too.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to listen to the public sometimes. When they don't show up, that's a big deal. And I would say if Jackson Dart was not starting this week, we would have saw 20. I can't put a number on it. I would say 20 or 30,000 empty seats there in Giant Stadium, which – the Mara family, the Tisch family, of course they don't want to see that.
This is what I don't understand when we have these debates and conversations around the league. Every team that has older veteran and young first-round pick, they say the same things in August. We're going to bring him along slow. We don't want to hinder his development. This is a good bridge quarterback, a veteran that can help show him the ropes. I mean, we're going to bring him along slowly. Everybody says this, and nobody sticks to the plan. We're not even at October yet. They saw one bad drive against Kansas City at the end of the game and then determined, nope, can't do this anymore. We got to listen to the fans. The fans were telling you to do this back in August, and you guys were emphatic that this wasn't going to be the case. It's almost like when you watch a scary movie, and we've all have seen this before. You know how in a scary movie, when the pretty girl locks the door at some point, and they always do that shot where they show you them locking the door. And as they're watching the movie, you think, oh, that door is going to need to be unlocked later. Like the bad guy's going to run in there and she's going to need to go to the door and she's going to be jiggling with the handle, trying to figure out how to get out. And that's probably going to lead to her demise. Like, can't we all see whenever, like, this is going to happen this upcoming offseason? Somebody's going to draft Garrett Nussmeier. Somebody's going to draft Cade Klubnik or Lenore Sellers or whomever the great college quarterback prospect is going to be. And they're going to do this same thing. Well, I mean, hey, we got Carson Wentz to start, and Carson Wentz is the veteran that knows the system, and we're going to give our young guy all the time to develop. And then week 4, week 5, we all know what's going to happen. That guy's going to be the guy that he's been for the last 5-6 years of his career. You're going to move on and you're going to take the guy that gives you hope and energizes your fan base. I can give you dozens of examples of which this has happened. We've seen very few teams with the discipline and the roster to really stick to their plan. So if you know this from the beginning, why did you waste the first 3 weeks of the season with Russell Wilson? That didn't get you anywhere. It didn't gain anything. I was listening to Deion Sanders. He was on the Nightcap podcast, and he said this. He said, in all my life, at the end of a game, if I was on the bench, I never said to myself, man, I learned so much today. Because teaching and the experience of playing is the only true teacher in all of this. The only way you're going to find out what you got with Jackson Dart is by playing him in these games. And I know this is a tough part of the schedule, so you don't want to do it. At some point, he's either going to sink or swim. So the Giants are making the right decision. They should have made this decision back in August and not wasted time splitting up the reps and just giving all of them to what their future was going to be.
Do you know what I'm growing very sick and tired of hearing about on these broadcasts? Because we watch a lot of national covered NFL games, ESPN, NBC, whoever. And they all have the same spiel about the young quarterback who's sitting behind. And they all point to one moment in time. Well, I don't know if you know, but Patrick Mahomes sat out the first 16 games of his, or 15 games of his NFL career, and look how great he is. Do you know why I'm tired of hearing about that? The Chiefs were a very unique situation. They were, I believe, 10-6. They may have been 11-5 that year, and they won the division with Alex Smith. They were, by all metrics, not great, but good enough where you didn't feel the pressure to make the change. They also had a coach who had been in the NFL for so long and had so much success in the league, you had to trust his judgment. That is an outlier. Every other time you're talking about where the veteran is bad, it's usually a coach we don't trust and a veteran we don't think is any good, and the team is flailing around. We'll use the Giants as the example. Why did the Giants mess around with Russell Wilson for 2 weeks? Brian Daboll's likely fired no matter if they're bad, so why not try Jackson Dart? It's not like in 3 weeks of practice, Jackson Dart went from incompetent to a star. He probably is what he is after 3 weeks. And if he's bad, Daboll's fired and they're going to reset anyway. So I'm tired of all these national broadcasts. Everyone's saying, well, Patrick Mahomes sat out, so that's how everyone should do it. Not everyone has the exact situation the Chiefs were in, and more times than not, teams aren't in that situation, so play the kid and try to save your jobs.
This has worked in two situations in the last 25 years. I'm serious. This has worked for two teams. This has worked for Green Bay. This has worked for Kansas City. It has not worked for anybody else. Nobody. This, well, we're going to let him sit and watch him grow and watch him develop. Who has it helped? You either can play or you can't. And yes, you might go through some early season struggles. Jared Goff struggled early on in his career. You know what? Jared Goff eventually figured it out because he can play. So this was a waste of everybody's time. I'm happy they finally got to the end equation. That's the right thing to do. It made the most sense for everybody. Good luck to the New York Giants as they play their young guy and they see what they got. And let's see if he can play. Let's see if he's their future quarterback. Let's see if he's somebody that you should build around and continue to move forward. Or you get the third overall pick and now you got a real big decision at the end of the year. You can either give up on Jackson Dart and potentially move him or draft your quarterback. But you got to keep firing. You got to keep taking shots. And starting Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston, or none of them are getting you to the ultimate goal of where you were trying to be, which is one of the better teams in the National Football League. Now, maybe you guys think that this is too premature of a conversation to be having, and I'm willing to acknowledge that. All offseason, we talked about the big three. We talked about Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore. We talked about those three teams being the only true Super Bowl contending teams in the AFC. Now, I think Vegas is actually showing us something very interesting about Kansas City. Vegas does not believe in the Chiefs in the short term. They were a home underdog to the Eagles. They are a home underdog to the Baltimore Ravens. I think if you want to play this thing out a couple more weeks, I think they'll be a home underdog to the Detroit Lions, especially if the Lions beat the two teams in front of them. They got Cleveland and Cincinnati their next 2 weeks, so no reason to think that they're not coming into Arrowhead 4-1 when that game happens. I think, like Baltimore, like Philadelphia, the Lions will be a slight favorite against Kansas City. I think what Vegas is telling you is, in the short term, they are not big Chiefs believers, but long term, you still have to maintain a level of respect for the Chiefs. You just can't be discounting long-term Chiefs futures right now in Vegas, because a lot of people would hop on them. That's why I said in last week's show, if you are still very high on the Chiefs and their ability to win this division, still really high on this team and their ability to be the one seed to make a deep run in the postseason, get back to another Super Bowl, you will never get prices as cheap as they are right now. They're discounted. I mean, they're not just giving the Chiefs away in the AFC. They're not 15-1, 20-1. But right now in the division, you're getting it at plus 250, plus 275 that they're going to win the AFC West. You never get that kind of odds for the Kansas City Chiefs because they're always the overwhelming favorite in their division. So I think in the short term, Vegas is telling you they're not very high on Kansas City. But long term, I think in a lot of ways, that kind of mirrors how the public and how you guys feel about the Kansas City Chiefs and all of these things. Are we ready to add two more teams to this conversation? are we ready to add the Chargers and the Steelers to this conversation? Now, I think it is important to add this delineation. I don't think the Steelers can win the Super Bowl, but if I'm taking a look at the landscape of the AFC, is there anybody else outside of these five teams that I think can be the team that represents the AFC in February in San Francisco? Like, are you ready to put the Broncos on this list? Because the Broncos might be the third best team in their division. I don't think we're putting them in the Super Bowl contender conversation. You can't put Cincinnati in there right now with the injury. Certainly no other team in the AFC East is worthy of that distinction. I'm not a believer in the Colts, not in a Super Bowl sense. The Colts, we see a team like the Colts every single year. They're going to win 10, 11 games. They're going to lose in the first round of the postseason. And the next year, whenever we give our preseason predictions about who we think is going to miss the postseason, the Colts will be the first team that we all suggest of no chance they're making the postseason this year. I just already can kind of tell you how that Colts season is going to go. They go 10-7. They lose on the road to Baltimore in the first round of the postseason in a closer than people expect kind of game. And then we move on with the rest of our lives. I feel like that's it. I feel like we have seen 3 weeks of the NFL, and I can already pretty definitively tell you one of the Super Bowl teams in the AFC is one of those five teams: Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, the Chargers, or the Steelers. Now, you can agree or disagree on how much of a contender pretender you think the Chargers or the Steelers are, but those are the only teams to me that, to me, have the weapons, have the quarterback, have the head coach, have the talent. Those are the only teams that I think worthy of being placed in that conversation with the other three big teams in the AFC.
So here's the thing. I don't think two of those teams belong in that conversation. First and foremost, let's start with the Steelers. Now, this is just my personal opinion on the Steelers. There's not a lot of data to back this up, but they feel like they are doing what the Steelers do every year. It is their destiny in life to be 9-8, and it feels like they're just on a path to 9-8. Now, maybe they'll go to, is the game in Dublin this week? Is it Ireland is the first leg of the Vikings trip? Maybe they'll go to Ireland, and they'll beat the Vikings, and they'll be 3-1, and they look like world beaters. I had to eat my words, but they just look like the regular old Steelers with a quarterback we know. So I don't have them in the Super Bowl category, no. And I don't think at 1-2 with one of the worst defenses in the NFL, you can have the Ravens in the Super Bowl category. Not right now. Maybe they tighten up. Maybe they come into Kansas City and get a big win. Maybe their defense starts looking like the defense that we thought their team could be. It could change. Data points will add new results. But I don't think in week four of the NFL season, you can convince me that the Ravens are a Super Bowl threat. Derrick Henry is fumbling every time he touches the football. Their defense is leaking like you wouldn't believe. And, I mean, their only wins against what we think is maybe one of the worst teams in the NFL at home. I don't know the Ravens can be in this conversation right now because of how bad their defense is and because I don't think Derrick Henry is the same Derrick Henry we've seen in the past.
Am I at least... Is it fair for me to give this caveat right now? Because I see people agreeing with you. I actually feel like Baltimore isn't a contender due to their defense. I think that is a fair point. Can I see what that looks like against a team like Kansas City? And I only bring that up because it feels like over the last couple of days, we've talked about the Ravens defense like it's the Cowboys defense. The Cowboys defense is getting cooked up by Caleb Williams. The Cowboys defense is getting cooked up by Russell Wilson, who might never make another start in the National Football League. The Ravens defense got beat by Josh Allen and Jared Goff in the Lions offense. Now, if the Chiefs offense looks a lot now, while the Chiefs can't really run the football super effectively and don't have their number one and number two wide receiver, I am happy to come back on here next week and we can have all the conversation in the world we need to have about Baltimore's defense. I just don't want to overreact because they were in a shootout with the Bills and the Lions. I'm not ready to say that Baltimore's defense is not good. It's not what I thought it was going to be. I'm not eliminating them because those two teams scored against you. Those two teams will score against just about any team in the National Football League.
Maybe I am playing both ends of the middle, or whatever that saying is. But I don't know what happens on Sunday really changes my thought all that much about the Ravens' defense. Either A, the Chiefs go up and down the field against them, and they look like the Chiefs of old, in which I will tell you, yeah, the Ravens' defense is bad. They're, what, 31st against the rush, 32nd against the pass? Like, they are one of the worst defenses in the NFL statistically. So if on Monday the Chiefs are cooking them, you can join the conversation, but I'm going to do a lot of, I told you so, that Ravens' defense is bad. And Let's say the Ravens defense looks like the Ravens defense we thought, the Ravens defense we grew up with, and they win a slugfest, or they're in a slugfest. They don't have to win. They're in a slugfest in Kansas City, defensive battle. I'll be telling you, you know why their defense looked good? The Chiefs' offense kind of stinks. So right now, the two viable teams the Ravens have faced, the two offenses we think are Super Bowl quality, the Ravens have been horrible. The one offense they faced, their defense looked viable, was a team that's fighting for Garrett Nussmeier in 9 months. That's their destiny with the Cleveland Browns. So I don't know that this Sunday changed my opinion about the Ravens defense, because either it plays well, but the Chiefs offense isn't playing well, so grain of salt, or it plays poorly, which of course is going to play poorly. It's a bad defense. I feel like this Sunday doesn't change my opinion on the Ravens D at all.
Now, someone asked a very fair question. Carrington, have you changed your stance on Justin Herbert? Not fully, but let me tell you where I am right now with the Chargers. Let me tell you where I am right now with Justin Herbert. What if, and this is just a thought, what if the Chargers are this year's 2017 Atlanta Falcons? You remember that year, it was a really good year for Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan won MVP that year, and the Falcons went to the Super Bowl. Before then, Matt Ryan had no playoff success. Leading into that season in which they lost the Super Bowl, Matt Ryan was 1-4 in his postseason career. They had good regular seasons. He played pretty poorly. I mean, in his first three postseason losses, Matt Ryan threw for less than 200 yards in all of those games. He then eventually kind of turned things around a little bit. They got the right team, the right year, and the Falcons had one good run. It's obviously a lot of football left to be played, but I don't want to just solely look at it through the lens of, well, you've never done it before, so that means you can't do it. Well, nobody has done anything until you do it for the first time, right? So I'm at least open to the possibility of, hey, maybe the Chargers are pretty good this year. You got a good coach. You got a capable quarterback. I think their offense has just about all of the things that you need. Quentin Johnston is one of the most improved players this year in the National Football League. Let's see if they can get the run game going just a little bit. Their defense has been pretty good so far. If you think the AFC West is one of the better divisions in the National Football League, the Chargers have beaten all three of those teams, so we can't ask the question, who have you beaten? Well, you beat Kansas City, you beat Denver, you went on the road and you beat the Raiders. We at least got to give you respect for the games that you have won so far. I'm simply asking the question, what if, because we do not look at that Falcons team as some all-time kind of team. It was a team that just kind of popped up out of nowhere. It was a team that just had one really good season where Matt Ryan put everything together. They lost in the Super Bowl, and then we basically never heard from the Falcons again. What if the Chargers are the 2017, 2018? What if they're that version of the Atlanta Falcons?
It's a good comparison, and me and the texter just see this differently, and that's fine. I kind of tried my best, and sometimes I fall, to take each NFL season in a vacuum. You're right. Justin Herbert, with a different coach and a different offensive line, different offensive coordinator, different weaponry, 3 years ago went down to Jacksonville and had one of the worst playoff losses in NFL history. And they did lose in the playoffs last year, and Justin Herbert looked bad. But do I think because those things have happened in his past that this team that looks good in week four and has beaten all the division opponents, like you said, including the Kansas City Chiefs, is incapable because of their history? No. Do I think they're going to make the Super Bowl? No, but they are absolutely capable. Good coach, good quarterback, and their defense is playing really well early in the season. They're a team that is viable. Do I think they're going to make it? No, but your Falcons analogy is perfect. And I'm sure if we went through each Super Bowl year by year, we can find a lot of teams you're like, oh, they just kind of made it that 1 year. Like the Nick Foles Eagles fall into this category too. You would have said no chance. They did make it. Maybe that's who the Chargers are.
Yeah, and I mean, I just think there's so many examples of this in sports. Like, you don't do it until you do it. People felt this way about Jason Tatum. He eventually did it. People felt this way about Steve Young. You remember there's that iconic video of them taking the monkey off his back. Like, your first time, it usually is met with a lot of disappointment. You kind of bump your head enough, and then eventually your team just breaks through. That happened with the Denver Nuggets when Jokic finally got his. Like, there's just so many of these kind of examples. I'm not telling you that I think the Chargers are making the Super Bowl, but I think you would be foolish to You can't not have spent all summer telling us how good you feel the AFC West is when a team goes 3-0 in that division. Now it's like, let's at least treat the Chargers like a team right now that has, they have been one of the more welcome surprises so far in the National Football League. Let's see how the story finishes for the Los Angeles Chargers. I will say one thing. If you look at their schedule, they got a chance to really get things going. Coming up on the other side, let's talk a little bit of Royals baseball. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
We'll get back to football here coming up in just a bit. But before we do that, I want to talk just a hint of smidgens of baseball. I can't remember, Rob, when this was, but you and I looked up the wild card numbers on what the Royals would have had to do to grab one of those wild card spots. Now, we don't need to revisit that conversation because the Royals are not going to the postseason this year. But I think we had the number somewhere around 87. I think it was like 30, 35 games to go. You and I looked at it and said that if the Royals were going to make the postseason, this was the record that you were going to have. Well, you know what? Our research ended up being pretty close, ended up being pretty accurate. The Royals, if they could have kept on that pace, if the Royals just could have maintained and been an 87, potentially 88 win team, man, they would have had a chance to win the division. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with, and I certainly understand if you haven't, just because the Royals completely fell out of the conversation, but this was a division that felt like it was all but locked up. The Tigers had the division, And all they have done for the last 10 days is lose. They've lost 9 of their last 10. They've lost 7 in a row. On the flip side, the Guardians, they are currently the hottest team in baseball. So when you add the hottest team in baseball and the coldest team in baseball, well, then what do you get? You get a division right now that is completely wide open with 5 days to go in the Major League Baseball season. Cleveland and Detroit both have 85 wins. Man, if the Royals just could have continued and maintained that pace and been an 87-win team, they would have put themselves firmly in the conversation. If you look at the wild card standings right now, so the Tigers, they have the last wild card spot, so you would have had to keep up with the Detroit Tigers. And Houston, they're one game back. They have 84 wins. Now, after that, all the other teams are eliminated. So the Royals are just simply playing out the string. But the Yankees, they have 89 wins. The Red Sox have 86. The Tigers have 85. And the Astros have 84. And then every other team in the American League is eliminated. Man, if they just could have stayed on track, if they just could have kept the pace, it really could have been a fun, entertaining September. The Royals season basically ended when I was on the Kiss Cam. That was like the last time that you could still have hopes and dreams for the Royals. And ever since then, it's just been all downhill.
I feel like when we do an autopsy on the Royals season, and we don't do it right now. We can't do it right now. Their season is over. They're eliminated from postseason contention as of last night. But when we really sit down and delve into, hey, why did the Royals fall short of expectations in 2025? We can point to the offense, and that's definitely a culprit. We can point to injuries. That's part of baseball, but it is part of the deal here. We can talk to a little bit of regression from players like Bobby Witt. We can point to those things, and we can talk about them. And we have an offseason full of time to talk about them. Do you know what the real reason is the Royals are not in the postseason? June. They were awful in June. Like, really, really bad. And that 87-win pace, that pace that you're talking about, if they had just been not even good, but just 500, you know, totally mediocre in the month of June, I think we are right now having a conversation of, oh, are they a team that can catch the Tigers? They're still in the wild card hunt. Can they get to that 88? Like, all the conversations we thought we'd be having and we did the math on, I think would be happening right now if June wasn't just an absolute anchor around this team's feet. Like, it absolutely was what ended this year's team. Now, it's on J.J. Piccolo, John Sherman, the staff to figure out, hey, let's put a roster together that doesn't have a June swoon, and swoon is an understatement, but when we look back at the Royals season, the biggest culprit for why on September 25th we said their season is over officially, it is the month of June. They were abysmal.
I want to play this audio for you guys. Andy Reid was asked earlier today if he feels like Xavier Worthy is going to play on Sunday's game against the Ravens. Here's what he said.
From Xavier, that the optimism level has grown for a return potentially this week.
Yeah.
How important is it just to see him in practice and being more than limited to get him out there on.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll just evaluate him and take it day by day, but he feels good, so we'll see.
That was Andy Reid earlier today. He said that they are going to take it day by day with Xavier Worthy, and they're going to see. At this point, I don't know if I can give you a prediction on Xavier Worthy. I mean, I thought pretty clear that he was going to play last week. Nate Taylor was reporting that he was going to play, and then something changed, and then he didn't play. He obviously will be welcomed whenever he gets back. He certainly would be a positive in this game. I think the game script for this and a possible win for Kansas City is going to have to be almost identical to the one against Philadelphia. I'm not saying that I think the Ravens are the Eagles, but just I don't think the Chiefs right now, I don't think they're in a position to get into a shootout with some of the best offenses in the National Football League. I just don't think they have the manpower to go out there and do it. So their defense is going to have to play well like they did against Philadelphia. They're going to have to control the line of scrimmage. I thought for the most part they did a fantastic job of doing that against the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're going to have to muddy the game up a little bit. That's a game that you got to try to win 24-20. That's a game that you got to try to win 21-17. If this game is going to be played like the Ravens game against the Bills and the Lions, I just don't think the Chiefs have enough firepower to try to win that. Or you're going to need to get Xavier Worthy back where you've got another bullet. You've got something else that you can do to potentially kind of blow out a game and score in the 30s, 35 points, if that's what the game script requires.
Listen, I'm not a doctor. I didn't even stay at a Holiday Inn last night. I have no idea about the health of Xavier Worthy. But at what point do you start to maybe scratch your head or get concerned about the fact that he isn't back yet? Like, the first part of that cut, hey, do you think Andrews, you think there's a chance that Worthy gets back this week? Yeah. Like, no elaboration, no nothing from Andy. You're right. We had Nate Taylor on the show Friday. If I combed through our audio files, I promise Nate was saying he expects Xavier Worthy to play.
He then said on, it. No, yeah. he reported it.
100%. Yeah, and then on Saturday, it. You know, you're heading to Columbia, I'm heading to Lawrence. We check Twitter. Oh, he ain't playing at all. Like, nope, not at all. I don't know if he will or won't play this week. Is there a timeline for you, not for him, because we're not doctors. Is there a timeline where you start to go, what's up? Because they never IR'd him, and they made it seem like it's just day-to-day, week-to-week. Is there a timeline where you start to scratch your head and go, why isn't he back yet?
I mean, I think what he has is a pretty significant injury, so I understand them feeling a bit of hesitation when it comes to it. I mean, if this ends up being a 6 or 7 week injury, I think the question is just going to turn out to why didn't you put him on the IR? You could have saved that roster spot. You could have done something different if you felt like he was going to come back and not require surgery. But the IR locks you in where you can't play for 4 weeks. So it basically would have almost lined you up with the Rashee Rice return and Xavier Worthy. To me, them not putting him on the IR, it gives you a little bit of, well, if he comes back in 3 weeks, you still save a week because you have the opportunity to put him on the roster. It was very, very lofty to think that he could play that first week. I am a little bit surprised that he couldn't play in the second week. I mean, I would think in theory, I mean, he's missed one practice this whole time. If you practice for 3 straight weeks and you're with the team and you're doing these things and they felt like they were real close to getting you ready last week, I don't know why you wouldn't play in this one, but you're right. Like, the target feels like it's been moved. I've been wrong enough on this, so I'm just going to throw my hands up and say, I don't know. I'm going to anticipate that he is not going to play until told otherwise that he is going to play. So how do you operate offensively? What do you need to do in the absence of Xavier Worthy? And then if you get him back, it's a whole different set of questions. How healthy are you? How many snaps are you going to play? How much wear and tear and punishment can you do? Can you do some of the creative jet sweep kind of things because you're worried about him getting tackled and brought to the ground? Like, I don't know with his injury if it's something that you're going to have to feel like, hey, he's back, he's perfectly fine. I think it's something that you're going to have to monitor for the rest of the season. This is probably an injury that needed surgery, but he's a football player. I want to be out there, so we'll try to figure out a way to do it. It doesn't sound like he can hurt himself anymore. It sounds like it's a range of motion. How can I protect myself? How can I keep it stable? How can I go out here and perform to the best of my abilities? So we'll see these next couple of weeks if they can get him back on the field before he would have been able to if they had just quite simply put him on IR from the very beginning when this injury occurred. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to be joined by Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.